I want to share with you a thought tonight that came to me today, and it's a prayer. It's about a prayer that I hope I never hear you pray. A prayer that I hope you never pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, with all my heart, that you are speaking to us. You are guiding us, leading us to something of yourself that perhaps for some of us is deeper than we've ever known before. We place boundaries and limitations on the level of our service to you. But you're calling us to something, Lord, that will make a difference in our generation. God, give us the grace and the courage and the strength and the desire to fulfill your will in where you're leading us. Help us to pray the right prayers. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus was invited to a dinner. And beginning of verse 12 of Luke chapter 14, now he said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Now, when one of those who sat at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many." Now, I'm going to stop there just for a moment. A certain man gave a great supper. He invited us perhaps to sit at a table, as the psalmist David once said, in the middle of our enemies, in the middle of everything that would oppose us or perhaps try to stop us on the journey to becoming everything that God has called us to be. In the Word of God, we are sat down because of Christ to an incredible banquet of strength, a banquet of provision, vision, purpose for the future, courage to face things perhaps that we would have been reluctant to face without the strength of God being inside of our lives, a banquet of a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. That which only God can plant within us and take us out of selfishness and self-focus and ultimately fulfill what he's actually been talking to this man who invited him to his own dinner about. He said, "When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you." But God's saying, the Son of God was saying, "But I will repay you at the resurrection of the just." We are invited to a great feast, not just eternally, we know that, but here on this side of eternity, a feast of strength, a feast of a renewed life, a feast of vision, a feast of passion and power to be everything that God has called us to be and to perform everything he's called us to perform. And many are bidden to this feast, many of us today. We are bidden to this newness of life. We are bidden to overspill our borders as it is and become what we could never hope to be in our own strength. We are bidden to leave weakness and find the strength of God, leave confusion and find clear thinking, leave fear and find a love in our hearts for other people that cast fear out of our lives. We are bidden to this incredible banquet of knowing who we are in Christ, who Christ is in us and what he has called us to be and what he's called us to do. And ultimately, the feast of God that we find in the Word of God is about people. It's about people who don't know God. The whole purpose of the cross was about people. The whole reason Jesus lived was about people. If it wasn't, we wouldn't even be here tonight. We were invited in our poverty, in our inability to get up and go on, in our lameness to change, in our blindness to see the way forward. We were invited, not in our strength, but in our weakness. And thank God, I think most of us here tonight can say, thank God somebody came to us. Thank God somebody didn't give up on us. Thank God somebody was not so preoccupied with themselves that they forgot we were here. The man who led me to the Lord had a blossoming career. He had lots that could have occupied his time, but somehow he let God get a hold of his heart and his time began to be occupied with me. And he kept coming to my house, no matter how rude I was to him, he just kept coming. He just kept knocking on my door. He just kept talking to me about Christ. He just kept telling me the things that I'm trying to tell others in my generation. And I was so obnoxious with him that when I became a Christian, he didn't believe it. He actually looked at me and said, "I don't believe you." I said, "No, it's true, it's true. I did give my life." And he got so nervous, his head started to shake. He was another police officer at the time. He didn't believe that I actually had given my life to Christ. But you see, he found strength at this banquet table of the Lamb not to give up. He found a compassion that wouldn't let him walk away even when I didn't reciprocate the goodness that he was bringing to my house and into my situation. And so a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. A certain man, Christ himself, prepares a banquet table for us even in the midst of our enemies. A certain man invites us not just into our own redemption, but for strength to live for the benefit of others. To strength to be true ambassadors of the cross of Jesus Christ in our generation. The one who went to a cross and died that we might have life and left us here to be representatives of that death. And he invites us to partake of this strength. He invites us to this table, this incredible banquet of God that is he is willing to let us be partakers of, to find the strength to help in time of need. And he sent his servant at supper time to say those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." Just like I could stand in this pulpit tonight and say, all things are ready for you. You have a calling on your life. You have a plan that God has ordained for your feet from before the foundation of the world. You have something that God has ordained you to do. You have somebody that God has called you to speak to. You have places that God has called you to go. And it is uniquely designed for you, not for somebody else. It's you that God wants to use. There are people in your neighborhood that only you can reach. There are people on your job that nobody but you can speak to. There are people across your table at home that God has called you to reach. And he's given you the strength. He's given you the wisdom. He's willing to give you all that you need. Come now. All things are ready. All things are ready. The promises of God are not for some great time in the distant future. They're not something that you've lost because of your past. No, all things are ready. This newness of life is yours. It is mine if you want it. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Saved and left here for a divine purpose on this earth. Oh, I thank God that in spite of my reluctance, he wouldn't let me go. I thank God that when I don't want to go through a door, in his mercy, he gives me a holy push and helps me get through. I thank God. Even though at times I'm reluctant, he knows deep down at some point I will say yes. He said, come, all things are now ready. You see, there's a last day move of God coming to this world. The scripture bears witness to it. And God is now calling his church. Christ is calling his church, not just here in New York City, but all over the world. He's calling his church and saying to his people, come now, come to me now, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, come now. Come ye who have no money to buy, come without money and without price. Come and partake of the things that have been prepared for you. You will need the strength that I'm willing to give you for the days ahead. Not only will you survive, but you will be a witness of who God is in the earth. You will be a city set upon a hill. You will be a lamp that doesn't go out in the darkness. You will have a voice to say, here, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go out to meet him. And he sent his servant at supper time. That's perhaps why I'm here tonight speaking to you. Come, he said, all things are now ready. Now here's the prayer. I hope I never hear you pray. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Actually, in the original King James, it says, I pray that you excuse me. And when you look up the word pray, it means an actual petition to one who's a superior. I pray. God, you understand. You see, I'm invested in this world. I've invested in the ground as it is. I bought a piece of land and you're calling me to a banquet feast. You're calling me to give and invite the maimed, the poor, the blind, the lame. Don't you understand, God? I don't have time for this. I have investments that I have to look after in this world. I just don't have time. I pray, have me excused, Lord. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them and I ask you to have me excused. Or again in the King James, I pray, have me, excuse me from this calling to this incredible table. You see, I got a job and I got a career and I got things that I got to do and I've got things that occupy my time and I got to go out and make a living. And you know, I got to hustle. Like, I mean, I just don't have time to be fully given to this invitation. So would you excuse me? And the third was just, I find it humorous. Another said, I've married a wife and I can't come. He doesn't even ask to be excused. He says, you certainly understand this one. I mean, she just won't let me go to the prayer meeting and be fully given. You know, Pastor Patrick told me tonight, he said, even in this church, a lot of young people have come to this church. They find somebody, they find a husband, they find a wife. We do the wedding and we hardly see them again. They come to the prayer meeting as long as they're needy, but when their needs are met. I was a lonely guy, perhaps. He might have accepted the invitation at one time, but not now. I've married a wife. You know, I'm not coming. He just said, I'm not coming. Period. I got other things to do. It's amazing. He finishes the whole dialogue in verse 24 by saying, none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. When we begin to make excuse when God has called us to show his kindness to a generation that lives in captivity, when we begin to excuse ourselves from the calling of God and the work of God, we push away from the table as it is, and we actually vacate the place of our own strength. We push away from having a renewed heart, a renewed mind, a renewed life, divine strength, because everything that God is willing to give leads to a divine purpose, which is the reaching out in the kindness of God to the lost and the hopeless of this world. If we're not willing to go there, then the table, suddenly the food starts disappearing. Church becomes just a once a week thing. Word of God becomes boring when we read it. The reality is that we have begun to ask that we be excused from the calling of God. But you see, the beauty of all of this is that God will continue inviting you and continue inviting you, continue inviting you. I think of the junctures in my own life where I asked to be excused. I think of the time that the Lord began to call me to leave my career and to pastor a small church out in the country. And I began to say, Lord, I don't want to do this. I pray, excuse me from having to do this. It's not how I see my life unfolding. I have another plan. I have other investments, and I really just don't want to do this thing. I'll be sold out where I am within the boundaries that I've created for my own life. The longer I stayed in that position, the worse it got. The heavier the presence of God became. The deeper the conviction started to touch my heart. Until one day, in a shopping mall, walking into the shopping mall, my unsaved partner at the time, I was a police officer, turns to me and says, You're a real nice guy, Carter. I like you a lot, but you're called to preach the gospel. My unsaved police partner, you talk about Balaam having an encounter. And he looked me right in the eye and says, you've got to obey God and do what God's calling you to do. The Lord will not give up. There was an invitation coming my way that I was reluctant to receive. But a servant came, a man at least that God made a servant, and said, all things are now ready. Walk through the door that God set before you. And to this day, I thank God with all my heart for those divine moments. I thank God. So there are no excuses. We try to manufacture them, but realistically, there aren't. So I want to challenge you as we come to the communion table tonight that we are worshiping the one who gave himself to the last drop of blood and water inside of his body that you and I could have hope here tonight. And he asks us to follow him. He asks us to be given for people that have no hope if somebody doesn't bring it to them. As the scripture says in the New Testament, how shall they hear without a preacher? He asks us to open our mouths and he says, I will first fill you with the strength that you need. Then I will give you the power and the compassion to speak the truth that you know. This is not a time to be silent, my brother and my sister. This is a time to speak now. There's a time to be quiet, but there's a time to speak. This is a dark moment. There has to be an inner cry in this society for those that aren't so jaded that they're just given to darkness and they're not going to turn. I'm not necessarily talking about them. But there's got to be multitudes in the valley of decision now. Multitudes of blind and lame people. Multitudes of those who are poor and can't change the way they are. Multitudes who are wondering if there is a God. And God has left you and I here as his voice, his heart, his testimony. A signpost that point to his strength. And everything we need, everything is in the table of God right now. Everything. Everything is here. Come. Come, he says. The table is now ready.